Yes. Okay. The we're on Daf Hey Amud Beis, and we had mentioned that the last thing we had mentioned is that even a kohen, we had briefly summarized it, even a kohen gadol, ben kohen gadol needs mashicha, but a melech ben melech does not need mashicha. And the Gemara darshes from the psukim that by the kohen gadol it says hamashiach tachto mibonav, which is a mefurish pasuk that even the son of the kohen gadol takes over him still needs mashicha. But by the melech it says laman yarich yamim al mamlato hu ubanav bekerav Yisrael, which indicates Yerusha. Therefore, since it doesn't mention Mashiach, that seems to imply that his son automatically, well, we'll see exactly what it implies, but certainly we take it so far as implying that his son doesn't need Mashiach. Now, on the one level, you could ask, why is there a difference between the son of the Kohen Gadol and the son of the Melech? The answer is because of the Pesukim. One Pesuk says Mashiach, and one Pesuk just says the son automatically takes over. But on a deeper level, most of the Mefarshim try to figure out why? What did the Torah mean by saying? What is the logic of the Torah saying that the Kohen Gadol's son needs Mashiach and the Melech's son does not need Mashiach? And I mentioned briefly, we'll just start by chazaring, two and one more creative, three basic approaches. The all of which are fascinating in their own right. One approach was the Brisker Rav. And the Rav in the Shira Grid says the same thing at much greater length, the one that was on this Makor Sheet 15, says the Brisker Rav very pithily. He says, "Avafilu kohen gadol kohen gadol told Mashiach, v'hine hadin b'chol zeh, zeh b'cheftah shel kohen gadol, shu mashuach sheish lov din mashuach, v'lorek b'hava yosel kohen gadol. Kol zeh u'achri yakrod di kohen gadol kohen gadol told Mashiach." What does he say? He says, for the cheftah shel kohen gadol, not for hava yosel kohen gadol. What he means by this, to use the words of his nephew in the Shira HaGrid here, is that there's a fundamental difference in Kohen Gadol and a Melech. The Melech's son takes over and the Kohen Gadol's son takes over. But the Melech's son takes over, all you need is a minoy, is of an appointment. The appointment can come automatically. Be Yerusha. The appointment can be Yerusha. The Kohen Gadol and Kohen Gadol have a Yatzel the Kohen Gadol, the appointment can taka come be Yerusha. But it's not enough for him to have appointment. He also needs to turn into a new Heftza. He is now a Heftza of a Hedyot, Kohen Hedyot. He needs to turn into a Heftza of a Kohen Gadol. What he's saying is that there's two things you need to make someone a Kohen Gadol. A, you need to appoint him to the job, and that's the Yerusha. B, use the Lashon of the Rav, you need to be Mekadosh him. He needs to become a new Heftza. He used to be a Heftza of a certain level of Kedusha. You need to make him a higher level of Kedusha. Why? Because it's not just a job and responsibility and a power. He has a tafkid in that he has to do certain very special things in the Beis HaMikdash. Avodah Zarah Yom Kippurim is only kosher with the Kohen Gadol and a few other things. And therefore, he needs to have a special level of Kedusha in order to do that. Right? Hilchos Klei HaMikdash V'Ha'ovdim Bo. The Klei HaMikdash needs to be a special level of Hekdesh. And the Kli Sharis, the special level of Hekdesh, and the Kohen Kohanim, and the Kohen Gadol needs to be a certain level of Hekdesh. So that's, if you ask, what is the difference between Kohen Gadol, ben Kohen Gadol, and Melech, ben Melech, one approach is the Brisker Rav, and the Rav says the same thing in the later part of the Gemara about the Yitzika and the Mashiach that hopefully we got a chance to see. He says the difference is not in terms of the Yerusha. The Yerusha works the same by both of them, right? The Yerusha is the same for both. The difference is that the Melech is just Minoy, and that is Over B'Yerusha. But the Kohen Gadol, besides Minoy, needs Kedush Shtagof. I mean, what does the Chefta mean? Chefta meaning not Chefta, a different object than him. He has to become a new Chefta. Needs, which is not, that is not over B'Yerusha. The fact that he's Neskadish, Kodesh Kadoshim, that can't be over Yerusha. The job can be, he can inherit a job. You can't inherit the Kedusha. And that's why he needs Mashiach. That's why. Oops. he needs Mashiach. Now, this chiddush that the Mashiach of the Kohen does something over and above the Mashiach of the Kohen Gadol ben Kohen Gadol, is not for Minoy. The Mashiach of Kohen Gadol ben Kohen Gadol is for Kedusha. Let's contrast that for a second to the more popular pshat. Again, both these pshatim could be simultaneously true. There's nothing prohibiting both pshatim from being true. But there are two different ways that people answer. The Meiri and Horios that I put on the sheet, and the Abarbanel I put in brackets, says the exact same thing. And many achronim. Many achronim take this approach as well. Okay, but the area and Abarbanel are good enough for us for now. They say that no, the Yerusha is different. The difference is in Yerusha. There's a din that the king's son becomes the king. That's an actual din. It wasn't just a mitzvah historically, it's a din. There's a din the Kohen Gadol's son becomes Kohen Gadol. That's also, besides being historically accurate in Tanakh, it's also a din. Both of these historically happened in Tanakh, as a general rule, and both these are also a din anchored in the Halacha. HaKohen HaMashiach Tachtav MiBanav. We darshan that. That means that if the Kohen Gadol has a son who's qualified, he's called into everyone else. And L'man Yarechimim Hu Al Mapo Hu Vanav B'Ker Yisrael means the king has a son, then the king's son takes over. So it seems like what? Okay, that is a problem. And now halachically, if he's a Rosh Gomer, so he can't be the king. There's an exception. There's a se'if, an asterisk in the halacha that says, if he's a Rosh, he can't be. But go enforce that se'if, right? Lechor is that he doesn't have the halachic shame melech, although, you know, this is not so clear in the Makaros. But they say, even though the Yerusha is different, what's the difference? He says, the melech is, the malchus is a bailus. He owns the country, maybe even, right? And he can pass that down, that's a mamish Yerusha from him to his son. This is Yerusha mamish. The son automatically inherits. Meaning kinship is the kind of thing that can be inherited, right? We're talking about secular. I don't like to use the word secular because nowadays it sounds like anti-religious. I don't mean anti-religious. I just mean not specifically religious. You know, I just mean chol. I don't mean chiloni by secular. Secular power, worldly power, that's the kind of thing that's worldly objects. In worldly objects and worldly power, we have ownership and we have rights, and you can transfer them, you can buy them and sell them and inherit them, etc. The Kohen Gadol, here we're talking about purely spiritual status, right? Kohen Gadol does have certain rights, right? But those rights emanate from in kachim. For example, he notel chelik barosh, makrav barosh, and notel chelik barosh. He can be makrav and eat whatever carbon he wants. But that's not a worldly political bailus. That's a spiritual, that's a religious appointment. A religious appointment of a Kohen Gadol, that's not the kind of thing you can transfer to your son, because it's not that he has the rights. He has responsibilities. He has a job to be Oved Hashem. Being Oved Hashem is not a right that we have over God. It's a right that God has over us. So, by the Kohen Gadol, says the Meiri, there's no Yerusha. There's no Yerusha. The new Kohen Gadol is appointed. The new Gadol, because he's Hagun, because he's qualified. However, is appointed, you know, if qualified. However, there's a rule. Is appointed, let's say, faith on qualifications. However, there's a rule that the Kedimas to the son of the old Kohen Gadol. There's a rule that we'd like to have a tradition involved here, that if he has a qualified son, his son takes precedence over everyone else. But it's not that his son automatically inherits it. It's that there's a rule that we should appoint his son, right? But is a rule that exactly we should prefer. What is that default?
Preference, right?
Yeah, we should prefer his son. But it's not that his son yarshins it. His son doesn't inherit the right to the malchus. We appoint the melech. His son doesn't appoint the right to the melech. We appoint the Kohen Gadol. There's just a rule that how do we appoint the Kohen Gadol? There's certain required rules. We can't appoint whoever we want. One of the rules, for example, is he has to be from the descendants of Aaron a Kohen. Another rule is he has to be qualified. And the other rule is, if there are many qualified candidates, we appoint the son of the existing Kohen Gadol. But he doesn't inherit it. We have to appoint him, and that makes perfect sense. Here he is, automatically inherits. So therefore, there's no Meshicha. Here, we prefer his son. We have to appoint him. Since we have to appoint him, there is Meshicha. Because there, the Ben of Shaul, the Rav explains that Shaul's son should have become the Melech. I mean, maybe he did a little, but, you know, but clearly it didn't last. The son of Shaul should have become the Melech, the Dori Doros, but ultimately there's a rule that God has the right to change who's the king, and since God sent a prophet to give an explicit divine commandment that Shaul was kicked out of the kingship for whatever reason, and David was, included, therefore, okay, that outweighs the other considerations.
Is there a formal psak that the Sanhedrin says, Ploni Almoni is the Kohen Gadol Chadash, Ploni Almoni is the Melech Chadash, or is the deputy? So the Chora, Shnehem is a psak.
Okay, that is a great question. I mean, according to this Me'iri, the Melech, there's no formal psak, he's automatic.
Right.
The Kohen Gadol, the Gemara says he's mitmane bepeh the Mistalik Pepeh, thank you. Yes, by the mouth of the Sanhedrin, that's what it seems to mean there, they appoint him. And one of the rais they bring is that the Achronim who agree with this says, there's no Gemara that says the Sanhedrin, there might not be Gemara that imply this. There's no Gemara that says the Sanhedrin appoints a king verbally and deposes him verbally. No, a king inherits from his father. But there is a Gemara that says the Sanhedrin appoints and deposes a Kohen Gadol verbally. What does that prove? A Melech is a right you can pass on. A Kohen Gadol is a rule of preference. But it's not your right. It's just a rule. You still have to be appointed. Okay, that's the Me'iri, the Rabbanel, and many Achronim. Now, there's a third pshat also. The third pshat is a little clever. It's a little clever. The advantage is that it's clever, the disadvantage is that it's very clever. But I thought it would be interesting to point out the Avinezer in brackets says, really, they're exactly the same. They both inherit from their father. The only difference is when the Abba, who's a king, dies, he stops being a king. Ein shel ton b'yom ha-mavis, as it says in the good book, specifically Ecclesiastes. Ein shel ton b'yom ha-mavis. So the old king's not the king, so his son inherits. However, Kohen Gadol, even when he dies, he's still the Kohen Gadol. And therefore, his son needs a Meshicha to inherit, because his father's still the Kohen Gadol. And he has an interesting proof. He says, okay, he was Hasidish also, so he says, Mistama, even though his father died, there's a Beis HaMikdash Shalmala, and Mistama, he's still being a Kohen Gadol in Beis HaMikdash Shalmala. Okay, that's a speculation, that's not a halachic proof. His halachic proof is, the Gemara says, if a Kohen Gadol dies, then meanwhile, his estate has to be makriv, has to pay for the minchas chavitin, the carbon, the Kohen Gadol, every day. It comes from his estate. What is that? Maybe no one should bring it. It's takam achlokes tanar, but we paskin. So how come the estate of the deceased Kohen Gadol has to pay every day for the carbon of the Kohen Gadol? And Masho, he's still a Kohen Gadol, even after he's dead, until someone else takes over, and then he's allowed to retire. So that's what the Avnei Nezer says. He says it's a, we'll just put him in like parentheses here, says the Avni Nezer, is that the king stops being king when he dies. And I think he actually does quote the pasuk from Koheles. Angel told him Hamavas, but a Kohen Gadol is still Kohen Gadol posthumously. And therefore, you need to be Moshe, his son, in order to make him take over, because otherwise the father's not retired yet. And again, he's not saying, again, he expressed himself a little Hasidic sometimes, but he doesn't paskin or interpret the Gemara based on that. You know, the flowery way he expresses it is, the father's still a Kohen Gadol in Beis Migdash Shalmala in the Shamayim, but what he means halachically is that it's a halacha. The father of state has to pay for the Chavite Kohen Gadol every day until they appoint a new Kohen Gadol. So that shows he's still Kohen Gadol.
Doesn't seem that the Rebbe says just the opposite. That the vestigial remnants of the
Melucha. Yes. Yes, it does. Or I wouldn't say exactly the opposite, but somewhat the opposite. Yes, Nachon. Nachon. I plead guilty. I agree. We'll come back to that in a moment. Now. Right, that's what he's saying. The Rebbe is saying the opposite. Adarabba, David Melech Shal Chai V'Kayam, and the Kohen Gadol is now in a better Olama MS and is not the Kohen Gadol anymore. The Rebbe says exactly the opposite. Pum Faket, he says, no, the reason Shlomo was a king is because David's still, the kingship still continues.
And he had the prerogative to decide.
Correct, which we'll get to in a moment. Okay, you're right, the Rebbe takes exactly the opposite approach. He says, Adarabba, kingship is forever, not kahuna. Okay, here's the opposite. But we're going to leave the Avnei Nezer on the side for now, because it's very creative. And I'm going to deal with the chiddush of each of these is very fascinating. What's the first chiddush of each of these? Meaning, the machlokas between these two is a very fundamental machlokas. They argue about two things. Meaning, they argue about whether the Briskarash Pshat is right, and they argue about whether the Meiri's Pshat is right, which are two different machlokas. And again, theoretically, someone could agree with both shitas if they so desired. And they'd have more than one way to explain this. What is the nafka mina? Number one is they argue about Mishichas Kohen Gadol. Here it is Minoy plus Kedusha. Here it is Minoy, right? Meaning the Me'iri, etc. They see the Mashiach of the Kohen Gadol is the same. There's no difference in the Mashiach. There's a difference in Yerusha. The Mashiach is Mashiach. As opposed to the Brisk Rebbe says, no, Mashiach has a different role by Kohen Gadol. This might have a nafkamina. Is the Mashiach of a Kohen Gadol for Minoy or for Kedush Taguf? Let's even call it Kedush Tachefza or Kedush Taguf. This might have a nafkamina. What would the nafkamina be? The nafkamina might be the Chiddush of the Sfas Emes. Everyone wonders why. We read a couple weeks ago, they went up to Hor HaHar, and Aaron died, and Elazar became the Kohen Gadol instead. What does it not say that they did?
Mashiach.
It never says he did Mashiach to Elazar. Why didn't he do Mashiach to Elazar? I guess theoretically you could say he did, it just doesn't say everything in the Chumash. You know, it also doesn't say every time they went to the bathroom. Okay, but this is seemingly more significant than holy. Okay. It's an argument from silence, but many Yachronim accept that argument from silence. Says the Sfas Emes, you know why they didn't have to anoint Elazar on Hor HaHar? He says very pashut. Because normally the Kohen Gadol's son needs Mashiach because he never had Mashiach yet. But Elazar had Mashiach. Read earlier in the Chumash, in the Shivish Vamigluim, Moshe gave Mashiach to Aaron and his four sons. Okay, why? The Ramban there brings two opinions. Whether it was because they each had a status of Meshuach Melchama, so they need Mashiacha, or it was it wasn't really a Mashiacha, it was just a very lower level Mashiacha. I am the Ramban there, which the Rav also mentioned in his Shiurim, but they did have Mashiacha. It says in the Chumash they had Mashiacha.
But not for Kohen Gadol.
So, says the Sfas Emes in our Sugya, once he had Mashiacha, even though it wasn't for Kohen Gadol, that's good enough. What's shot in the Sfas Emes? The Sfas Emes makes perfect sense based on the Rav's approach. The Mashiach is not for Minoy. The Minoy he inherits. The Mashiach is for Kedusha. And you know what? Elazar already had a high level of Kedusha because he got Mashiach during the Shirish Mayim Yiluim. He already had the Kedusha's Mashiach Hashem. Ah, you'll ask, why did they give five Kohanim a high level of Kedusha instead of just one during the Miluim? Okay, that's a great question. There are their spiritual reasons. But we point out you can't give Mashiach to more than one Kohen. The Mashiach Melchama, a Kohen Mashiach Melchama gets Mashiach, and he's not a Kohen Gadol, but he has to marry Basula, and he's not Matamim LeMesim, etc. The Mishnah in Hobrio says, you can have the Kedushas Mashiach even without the Minoy of the Kohen Gadol. I should know the answer to that. It's an explicit Mishnah in Horios. Says the Mishnah in Horios. Okay, I might have to look it up later, but maybe it is maybe it's only Brisa here. What are we trying to say? We're trying to say here, what's the nafkamina? Nafkamina is a Kohen, or nafkamina is Elazar, or a Kohen Mashuach Melchama, right? Shenismane leKohen Gadol. According to the approaches for Kedusha, we should say, like the Sfas Emes, that he doesn't need a new Mashiach. He got a new Minoy, but you don't need Mashiach for the Minoy, right? You need Mashiach for the Kedusha Guf, or at least if he inherited. But according to the approach of the Meiri, etc., then you should think that he would need Mashiach, because the Mashiach is for the Minoy. If the Mashiach is for the Minoy, then even Elazar should need Mashiach. If the Mashiach was for the Kedusha, then he already had the Kedusha because he was writing the Shkadish for Shem and HaMishcha. There could be other Nafkamina that are more subtle. The Rav brings another Nafkamina and says, or the Rav used this as well to explain the Gemara later on. The Gemara later on has Machlokas. How did they do Mashiach to Aaron? They did Mashiach. Mashiach literally is to shmir, right? You shmir oil on someone, that's Mashiach. You make a certain shade, perhaps. That's what Mashiach means, to shmir oil. And they also did Yitzikah, they poured oil. So, and there's a whole machlokas in the Gemara whether they poured first and then shmired, or shmired first and then poured. So the most people would read this Gemara. This is the godless of the Rav, by the way. The godless of the Rav was not just that he had a better pshat than Edi Masira Karti, Edi Chasima Karti, and classic sugyas. The godless of the Rav is that most people read this Gemara and say, okay, this is Machlok, the Yitzikah first or Mashiach first, let's move on. You know, unless I'm, getting into Inyanei Kabbalah, and then I'm going to explain what sphere it comes from. But the Rav took Gemaras like this, that was the Mashiach first and the Yitzikah first, and turned them into Lomdish Machlokas in Mahalacha. That was the godless of the Rav. I don't know if anyone before him or after him was really capable of doing that consistently. The Rav says, what's the machlokes of Yitzika and Mashiach later on in the Gemara? Right, the Gemara here has the machlokes. They say it's whether Mashiach is Adifa or Yitzika is Adifa. What's that machlokes? Yeah, I would have read this Gemara and said, okay, let's move on. I don't know. The Rav says that makes a lot of sense based on the lumdus of the Brisker Rav. Says the Rav, And, you know, it could also perhaps tie into this, but let's put it here. Use this to explain the machlokes about Meshifa versus Yitzika. And here he just said one point. He made one hanacha, one assumption. He said, by a king, he also had some suffix whether a king has Kedusha or not, but he says, by a king, how did Shmuel anoint Shaul? What ma'aseh did he do? Yitzika, right? He poured the oil on him. Right? Yitzika. Okay, v'pach, but Yitzika. By the clay ha-mishkan, they did Meshicha. So says the Rav, you know what the machlokes of Yitzika and Meshicha is? By Aaron, there was Tzvei Dinim in says the Rav, that there are two dinim in Meshichas Kohen Gadol. One is Minoy, if he's not the son of the previous Kohen Gadol, right? He needs Minoy. The son of the previous Kohen Gadol is only Midin Kedusha. Two is Midin Kedusha Sagof. Right? And that's why, even if he is the son, he still needs to produce a goth. But what if he's not the son of the previous Kohen Gadol, like Aaron, who was not the son of the previous Kohen Gadol? Then he needs it for Minoy and for Kedusha Goth. For Minoy, it was, it's similar like a melech. For Kedusha Goth, it's like the Kli Sharis and the Mishkan. Right? Like the Kli Sharis and the Mishkan, he got Kedusha Goth. That's Meshicha. And like a Kohen Gadol, he got an appointment. And what the Rav says, the Minoy, the Kohen Gadol, and the Kedusha, the Kohen Gadol are two different Chaluyos. That's his Chiddush. You can inherit the Minoy, but not the Kedusha. You can get the Kedusha without a Minoy, if you're a Kohen Meshuach Melchama, or if you're not a Navi, or Lazar Tamar. You can get the Minoy without a Kedusha. You can get a Minoy, well, and you know who else? Who else has Kedusha without a Minoy? A Kohen Gadol who was fired. Kohen Sha'avar. Kohen Gadol who was fired is still Aser and Tumas Meis and Aser and Almana and Mosar Ala Basula, etc., etc. All the rules apply to him, say the Mishnah Horios. That you can have the Kedusha without the Minoy. Right? You can have the Minoy without the Kedusha. If you inherit it and they haven't anointed you yet, you have the Minoy, you don't yet have the Kedusha. If you are Elazar and Itamar, you have the Kedusha, but you don't have a Minoy until Elazar got when his father died. If you're a Kohen Gadol who retired, you still have the Kedusha on you, because you're still Mashiach Hashem, but you don't have the Minoy. So, says the Rav, that these are two dinim. These are two dinim. You can have one without the other. And the Chiddush of the Rav is that this is represented by Yitzika, and this is represented by Meshicha. One is represented by Yitzika, like a king. One is represented by Meshicha, like the Klei Sharis and the Ohel. And therefore, says the Rav, what's the machlokas in the end of our daf? The machlokas is when they appointed Aaron, when Moshe appointed Aaron a Kohen, what was the primary thing he did to them? And what was the side point? Was the primary the Minoy, and then he also was Mekadesh him? Or was he primarily Mekadesh him, and then also was Memanah him? That's what they're arguing. They're arguing, what is the ikker, a uniqueness of Aaron, is the ikker uniqueness of the Minoy, and then the Kedusha Gof comes along with it? Or is the ikker the Kedusha Gof, and then the Minoy comes along with it? And that's the machlokes in the Gemara later on that we say here, the machlokes Tanaim, we don't have names, is primary, is the Kedusha primary, and therefore you'd be Moshe, and then you'd say, or is the Minoy primary? But everyone agrees there are two different dinim to the Kohen Gadol. The Rav Nosopek, he says, you can't necessarily prove. The odds are there are two dinim to a Melech. He tries to prove it, he says, you can't prove it, but his intuition is still that Melech is only din a Minoy. Here there's a Minoy and Kedusha. The Kedusha comes from, they both came from this Meshicha, but there are two different aspects, and you can have one without the other. For example, you can fire him from his Minoy, but you can never fire him from his kedusha, even if he's fired from Kohen Gadol. Let's say he's too old to work anymore, and they appoint a new Kohen Gadol, etc. He still can't go to his relatives' funerals. He still can't marry an almana. He still has his kedusha, as this Mishnah, I think I can find. Ein bein kohen mishamish l'kohen sha'avar elo par yom kippurim v'asir sa'eifa. Right? The only difference between a serving and a fired kohen gadol is whether they bring certain karbanos, whether they bring the karbanos. But they're all not only theoretically kosher from avodas yom kippur, but they're all mitzvah and besulah, v'asurin ala amadna, v'ein matam krovehem, v'loporim, v'loporim, u'masir n'roseach, and they even let the roseach come home from the ir miklat. Okay, so that's the chiddush of the Rav. Again, according to the Ibn the Barbanel, they look at Yerusha is the same, but the Meshicha is different. Here they would say the Yerusha is different, but Lechora the Meshicha is the same. You might say, no, it's the same Meshicha for Melech and for Kohen Gadol. Meshicha is just being a manahim. However, says the Rav, no, there's an additional role. By a Melech is one din of Minoi, by a Kohen Gadol is din of Minoi and Kedusha Gof. Therefore, even though he inherited the Minoi, he still needs Meshicha for the Kedusha Gof, and that would explain why Elazar didn't need Meshicha, because he already had Kedusha Gof and he can inherit the Minoi, and that would then mean there are Tzvei Dinim to the Kohen Gadol. He has a Minoi to be Kohen Gadol, and he has the Kedusha of Kohen Gadol, and that would explain why Aaron needed two different types of anointment, and the Machlokas over which was first. Because he inherited the Minoi. He inherited the Minoi. Okay. Now, of course, that's one Nafkamina. The other Nafkamina is not whether the Rav is right, that there's a Minoi and Kedusha Gof, but whether the Meiri is right. Is there Yerusha by Kahuna Gedola or not, right? The second Nafkamina is that that's not what I meant. Sorry. Two is that they argue about Yerushas Kahuna Gedola, right? According to the Rav, you need the Kedusha, but you inherit the Minoi, according to the Brisker Rav. Here, right, there is Yerusha for Kahuna Gedola. Yeah, you need to add Kedusha, but the job you inherited. While according to the Meiri, no, there's Yerusha for Malchus, for secular meaning chol, not chiloni, chas v'shalom, for secular appointments, for secular power, there's Yerusha. But for religious authority, there's no Yerusha. There's a preference. There's a preference. Clearly, there's a preference. That's a rule in the Chumash. Hakohen Mashiach Tachtav Mi Banav. But a preference doesn't mean Yerusha. Doesn't mean you have the right to it. This underscored. This was one of the fights. You know, one of the biggest fights between the Poskim in Europe and Ad Hayom Hazeh that extends to. Although nowadays I haven't seen it discussed much halachically, but I'm sure it is over Yerusha of religious power, right? I haven't seen the Achronim at all deal with Yerusha of secular power. You know, probably because the didn't have that much secular power in Europe. The Jews didn't have much secular power. And then, since we made Medinat Yisrael, they wrote very clearly into the rules that you're not Yorish of secular power. But Yerusha of Rabbanut, of being a rabbi, Yerusha of being a shochet, Yerusha of being a chazan, those are the things that are mainly discussed. Adding on that, okay, by the Hasidim, it's Pasha, there's Yerusha being Hasidish Rebbe. By the yeshivas, it's still a big issue. I think it's not discussed much halachically as just practically people do different things, but, you know, in some yeshivas, they inherit the Rosh Yeshivaship, in some not.
But Rav Shach is very much against.
Rav Shach was very much against, because Rav Shach was very idealistic in terms of Torah.
The Hasidim is always the oldest son of the Rebbe?
I think, but I'm not an expert in Chassidus. Anyway, I'm not getting into this because there's tremendous literature on this, as you can imagine. You know how big of a deal this was, right? How much literature there is in the Shu'at is not based on the sugya, it's based on the application. And the applications were common and exceedingly significant. But this is part of the big machlokus over Yerushas Rabbanus. For example, the Chassam Sofer, who is the most famous of all the poskim for being anti-Yerushas Rabbanus, anti-Yerusha, the Chassam Sofer started with, he didn't necessarily quote our sugya, but the difference in Melech and Kohen Gadol. He didn't quote our sugya, he just ends up in the same place as our sugya. Says the Chassam Sofer, he says, only a king has Yerusha. Only secular power has Yerusha. There's no Yerusha for religious functionaries. Ah, the Kohen Gadol. Okay, there's a special rule. There's preference for the son of the Kohen Gadol. But if it's not a Kohen Gadol, there's no such special rule. Okay, so apparently he's not into that. Now, it's not so posh because there is a sifrei, which says, L'man yarich yamim amav tohu v'nav b'kerev Yisrael. That means any appointment in Yisrael has Yerusha. And if you look in the Rambam, both in Hilchos Melachim and Hilchos Klei Mikdash, he seems pretty clear that he says it's not only a king, every Jewish appointment has Yerusha, and he's specifically connected to Kohen Gadol.
He lives in the one place in Yisrael.
Okay, but... okay, so hold that thought for just a moment. I mean, it's not called nepotism, that's the rule. It says, Sheyomas in Klei HaMikdash, says, Sheyomas melech o kohen gadol o echa bishar ha-mamunim, ma'minin tachtov b'no o horoi l'yorsho, v'kol ha-kodon l'nachal ha-kodon l'soros ha-meis, v'ushe yimalim kohen v'chochwa, o b'yira, etc. Malame cha'amalchus Yerushahi, v'hu adin l'chol soros ha-mkeri Yisrael, sh'azokhala, zokhala atmo l'zaro. The Malchus Yerusha, and likewise every other soror, including kohen gadol, that your zizokha for himself and for his kids. The in Hilchos Melachim, I'll tell you, he go two ways. In Hilchos Melachim, he just says that. Sorry. Yeah. Okay, now, he doesn't mention Kohen Gadol, but it could just be that, okay, he doesn't have to mention Kohen Gadol if he's in Hilchos Melachim.
Why did he mention it in
Klei HaMikdash? In Klei HaMikdash, he mentioned Melech and Kohen Gadol, so he's talking about Shemana Mishra, so he started with them both. Here he's only talking Melech, he starts with the Melech. The simple pshat in the Rambam, since the Lashon is very parallel, is that there's only one din in the Rambam. That's a simple pshat in the Rambam. So the simple pshat in the Rambam is, this would be the pshat of the Rambam, and the Rambam would be against the Meiri and the Abarbanel. This is a big machlokes. The Stechemed, Paskin, based on the Rambam, he says, Pashut is Yerusha by Rabbanot. Nothing to talk about. Davar Pashut Yerusha by Rabbanot. So says the, here, in terms of, I'm only going to touch the tip of the iceberg of Halacha L'maisa. But it, just a few representative halacha l'maisa. Paskin's the Stechemed that was on the Makorashi. He says, Pashut, al pi the Rambam, that there's Yerusha by all religious appointments. Davar Pashut, Zel, Chazaka. And there are still plenty of places on Ayoma Zeh that work that way. Where, you know, the rabbi dies and they appoint his son instead. You know, especially some of these, sometimes they have these, like, neighborhoods in Yerushalayim where there's a rav in the neighborhood who really is not shy of the neighborhood anyway, just he has that misra, etc. When he dies, they give it to his son. That's one approach. However, the Chassam Sofer famously says the Chassam Sofer, he said, no, there is only Yerusha. There's no Yerusha by religious, there's no Yerusha by religious appointments. Yerusha is only for secular appointments. No, and some Edom also pass in this way. No Yerusha by religious appointments. And even the preference, that's only for Kohen Gadol. Because the Gemara says the Kohen Gadol's son has preference and not the Kohen Mashiach Mechama's son. So you could have said it's everyone but Mashiach Mechama. He says no, it's only Kohen Gadol. And only Kohen Gadol's son has preference. But if it's not the Kohen Gadol, any other religious appointment? And he says, what does Zifrei mean? This Zifrei meant any secular appointment, but a religious appointment? No, religious appointments don't get passed down. And even the preference, that's only for a Kohen Gadol. Ne'er v'chassam Sofer says, when a shochet dies, or a rabbi dies, or a chazan dies, give the job to whoever you want. The Tzemach Tzedek, not the earlier Tzemach Tzedek, but the Tzemach Tzedek, the Lubavitcher Tzemach Tzedek, who was that? The third Rebbe? The third Rebbe, I believe.
The Nech of the
Balatanya. Yeah, the Nech of the Balatanya says the Tzemach Tzedek. He says there's no Yerusha by religious appointments. As a matter of fact, the Sechemet is coming to disagree with the Tzemach Tzedek by religious appointments. Now, it's not so clear what he says about the Rambam. Our own, if I was the Rav and I was more bold and I knew how to make better diyukim, maybe I would say, there's a difference. Hilchos Melachim is only for Melech. Hilchos Klei Mikdash for Melech and Kohen Gadol. By Melech, it's Mamish Yerusha. By Melech and Kohen Gadol, it's only a Kedima. By Kohen Gadol, it's only Kedima. I don't see that in the Lashon. I see more Peshat and Lashon saying the same thing twice, just starting from his context. But you can decide if you think differently. Lamai said the Tzemach Tzedek, there's no Yerusha by religious appointments, but there is Kedima for his son, just like by Kohen Gadol. So we have three Shitas. The Tzam Sofer says there's no Yerusha, and there's not even Kedima. That's only by Kohen Gadol. Tzemach Tzedek says, I admit there's no Yerusha. I like this Chiluk of the Meiri. I admit there's no Yerusha, but there is Kedima. So you still have to give Kedima to the son if he's qualified. And the Tzdechemet said, no, there's even Yerusha. What are you talking about? There's no difference between a king and a Kohen Gadol. That's a technical difference of Kedusha. There's no difference in terms of the Minoy. Okay, so these are three different opinions. I will point out before I leave this, we'll come back to it briefly, but there are two other Tainas that can support the Chassam Sofer against Yerusha's Rabbanus. One is the famous Taina of the Maharashtam. Give me a second. The Maharashtam says, although most of the postkim didn't seem to like this, but the Maharashtam says something interesting. He says, for a Chazan, for a Shochet, for a Kohen, I understand this Yerusha. Says the Maharashtam, for a Rav, there's no Havmin of Yerusha. It's not comparable to a king or a Kohen Gadol, says the Maharashtam. Why? Because a Rav is based on, what's the position based on? Torah. So he says, first of all, it's an obvious Svara, that by Torah, it's what you know, not who you know. Then he says better. He says, remember in Mefurash Gemara? There are three crowns. The crown of Malchus was given to David. The crown of Kahuna was given to Aaron. The crown of Torah is Munokar and Zavis. Whoever wants can come take it. He says, Mamzer Kohen Tamachokim, Kodin Kohen Gadolama Aretz. He says, by Torah, by definition, can't be Yerusha. Because Chachma, either you know or you don't. It's Munokar and Zavis. Some people argue with him. They say, yeah, it's Hefker Bekar and Zavis. But when you pick up Hefker, then your son inherits it. Some may say, it's not such a good ride. I'm telling this in the postkin, they say this to him. Say, Anachanem, it's Hefker. It's Hefker to start being a rabbi. But once you're a rabbi, if you pick up something from a crown from Hefker, if you pick up jewels from Hefker, then your son inherits it. Okay, but says the Maharashtam, he says that even without this taina, this is all assuming that a rabbi is comparable to Ar Sugya. Says the Maharashtam, Torah is Chachma. Chachma is different than everything else. It has nothing to do with Ar Sugya Bichlal. And then there's some deal in the postgame whether modern day rabbis are actually based on Torah or something else.
Rambam says you can. Rambam says you can teach. If a person doesn't have a Rebbe Chochmah, so you can teach him, that's all.
No, but maybe that's to be a Kohen Gadol, you can teach him, not to be a Posek. Meaning, to be a Hasidus Rebbe, you can teach him what he needs to know to be a Hasidus Rebbe. You can't, what do you mean? If he's not smart in Torah, you can't teach him what he knows to be a Posek Adar. That either you know or you don't. So yeah, to be a melech, to be a shoch, to be a shochet, you can teach him how to be a shochet, and to be a chazen, teach him how to be a chazen. But to be the Talmud Chacham, if he's not a Talmud Chacham, then who says you can teach him enough to be a rabbi? Anyway, or maybe yes, okay. Anyway, yesh lagan, it's very fascinating, by the way, that in many Litvish yeshivas, they don't inherit their yeshivaship. By all the chassidim, they do. Maybe that's because the Rosh Yeshiva, his job is to teach Torah based on Chachma, while the Hasidish Rebbe's job is more like a Kohen Gadol, is to do spiritual avodos on our behalf. And therefore, Kohen Marshdan, Kohen Gadol, you talk about either Yerusha or Kedima, while by Torah, it's Munah Pir and Zavas. Okay, very, very fascinating. Machloket, so there is, again, the question of Yerushas Rabbanos, I'll just say, Yerushas Rabbanos depends on three questions. Number one, Yerushas Kahuna Gedola, you know, in spiritual religious positions. Number two is Chachma different from Kahuna? And number three, we'll get to in a moment. Oh, well, number three, I'll point out already. Number three is how to interpret the Gemara of B'moko Machlokas. Is there Yerusha B'moko Machlokas, which we'll get to in the Gemara. Meaning, even if Yoldi is Yerusha Strabonus, maybe Yerusha is only if there's no Machlokas, as we'll see later in the Gemara. Okay, so this is the difference between Melech and Kohen Gadol. Very, very fruitful Machlokas here. That would be a good raya for the Maharash Tam, right? Is that a Mefurish Halacha in Shas? I don't know if that's Mefurish in Shas anywhere. Okay, but that doesn't necessarily prove things one way. I mean, that only proves. Hey, look, Raman Shulchan Aruch says it's Yerusha Rabbanus. But that doesn't prove that everyone agrees with him. The Ramat Taka says there's Yerusha's Rabbanus. That the question is whether everyone agrees with him or not. Okay, let's go on to the Gemara. Look, that's what the Marashtam says. He says, by a king and a Kohen Gadol, maybe it doesn't have to be the best person. Although you think maybe that also. Or it's harder to find the best person, or, you know, you need Siyata Deshma. I mean, you always need Siyata Deshvaya. But that's what Arishtam says. By Chachma, it's the best person. It's interesting. Our 21st century, or even 20th century, maybe even 19th century in many countries, attitude is pashut that there shouldn't be Yerusha. The best person should do the job.
Don't you see some change over the generations that the Litvish yeshivas now are emulating their Hasidish counterparts?
Yes, many of them. And many yeshivas have died because of that.
Yeah, but isn't that an automatic assumption in even the Litvish yeshivas?
It depends which.
And the Kipas from the world too?
It depends which. Look, that's the big question. And the problem is, we know, in our experience in this world, it really seems like, you know what, if you just let it be Yerusha, it's always bad for you, right? Meaning, why are a lot of Hasiduses not what they once were? Because it went down in Yerusha to someone who wasn't what his great-grandfather once was. Why are a lot of yeshivas not what they once were? Because it went down in Yerusha to someone who is not what his grandfather was. Why are a lot of countries oy vavoy? And there are many reasons, but the countries where they inherit the head of the country is for sure oy vavoy. So it's a good question. I mean, our modern-day democratic perspective is very, very, very different. And we don't think it's a good idea at all for someone to inherit power. We think it's a good idea to appoint the most qualified person, not only in Torah, but in Malchus for sure, which gives us a very, very different idea than seems to be represented by this halachos.
I think isn't the assumption is made now.
Let me come back to that in 3 minutes, or 5 minutes perhaps. Okay, let's continue the Gemara. Says the Gemara, Vim Tomer Vimam Mashkwa Shlomo. On the third class skinny line, why did they give Mashiach Shlomo if he was the son of a king? Because Adoniah disagreed with Yehoash. Why did they give Mashiach Yehoash? Because Atalia didn't want to be king. And why did they give Mashiach Yehoachas, who was the son? Because he had an older brother, 2 years older than him, named Yehoyakim, who they skipped over.
That we analyzed. Amar Mari, Moshe Melch ben Melch, Minolan. Amar Bakwayat, and Sidlaman Yarach Yamamah Tahuva Nav, Huva Nav, Yerushay. It's automatic. When they mamash for Shlom, they are chlokas Adonia, Minolan, Chiasi, Machlokas by Meshicha. The local by Malka Moris Le Malchusa. How do we know that we should give Meshicha when there's a Machlokas? Can't the king give the kingship to whichever son he wants? Meaning, why does Shlomo need a Mashiach just because Adonijah disagreed? David has the right to give his kingship to whoever he wants. Here it's an interesting question. Why does David have the right to give his kingship to whoever he wants? Meaning, if we think of Yerusha, do I have the right to give my property to whoever I want for my kids?
Yes.
Mechaim, after death.
Machlokas Hanam, between the Chacham Rabbi Yochanan ben Broka. Rabbi Yochanan ben Broka says, I do have the power to pick which my kids inherits. And the Chacham say not. Interesting, the Avni Nezer, in the Tshuva I put in brackets or wherever it was on the Makorah sheet, he has one line, just Agav, he's discussing it, he says, and this Gemara says this because we pass like Rabbi Yochanan ben Broka. We talk to pass like Rabbi Yochanan ben Broka. The father, when he's on his deathbed, can choose which of his kids will get to how much or all of his money. Okay, with some slight, there are a few technical exceptions, but the Ikaron, the father can choose who gets the property. So says the Avni Nezer, why does the father get to choose who gets the property? Because we all like Rabbi Yochanan ben Broka, and this is the normal rule of Yerusha. The Rav disagrees, says the Rav, no, this is not only according to Rabbi Yochanan ben Broka, this is even Lefi Chachamim, that the father doesn't get to choose who inherits. Because this is not the normal rules of Yerusha, and he brings a proof. The normal rules of Yerusha is only after he dies. But David appointed Shlomo even when he was alive. So therefore, says the Rav, the Yerushas Malchus is different than every other Yerusha in the world. Again, the Avni Nezer obviously disagrees. Right? So, we'll just put one more thing on this board. If you ask, what's the Lashon? Why can the king choose which son? Right? That's what the king chooses, right? The assumption seems to be if the king doesn't choose, it would go to the oldest. That's why it would have been Yoyakim Yehoachaz need a Mashiach. So says the Avni Nezer. He says it's regular Yerusha, and we paskin Kaimelon Rav Yochanan ben Broka. But says the Rav, no, this is a special din of Yerusha. A haraya works even when he's alive. This is a unique din. Why is this different from all other Yerusha, says the Rav? All other Yerusha, when I own my property, I only own my property as long as I'm alive. When I die, it goes to my kids. After I may have Esrim, it goes to my kids. I only own something as long as I'm alive. Says the Malchus is unique. When David got the Malchus, he himself owned the Malchus for the rest of eternity. I was about to say Abias Gold Tzedek, but I realized that doesn't make any sense. No, Adraba, especially after Abias Gold Tzedek, right? Ad Bechlal Abias Gold Tzedek, right? He owned the Malchus forever. He says, it's unique. My wallet, the cash in my wallet and my house and my car, I only own as long as I'm physically breathing in this world. And therefore, I can't choose who to give it to after I die, according to the Chachamim. However, the Malchus, David owns the Malchus forever. When he got the Malchus for the next billion, gazillion, or however many years the world would be.
Yeah, but Shlomo didn't take it over.
And therefore, he has the right to pick who to give it to, because he has bailus on the future, not just on the present. That's the difference. So the difference is, one second, let me just put this on the board, that regular property, I have bailus only on the present, as long as I'm alive. But Malchus, the Melech has bailus, even on the future after he dies. And that's why we say, David Melech Yisrael chai v'kayam. Doesn't mean that he's literally alive, but it means that he still owns the Malchus even nowadays. And that's why he can pick who to give it to, and that's why Bathsheba, when David gave the Malchus to Shlomo, Bathsheba said, Yechi HaMelech David Le'olam. Now, you might have just said, that's politeness. That's what everyone says to a king when they want to when the king is nice to them. But the Rav says, no, 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 she was being a lamda, not just polite. She said, because the king, his power extends to eternity, that's why he has the right to pick which kid he gives it to. Okay, that's the chiddush of the Rav.
So Shlomo could have, in theory, then taken over and told his father, you know, you go now to your retirement with Avishag, and I'm taking over. And he didn't really need to wait till David passed away. It wasn't really necessary, point this Mahalach.
Could be. Yesh Lion. Okay, let's continue. Continuing, the Gemara says, Amar, Papa Amar, Kra, Bekerav Yisrael, Buzman Shalom Yisrael. Bekerav Yisrael, only when he's Bekerav Yisrael, when all the Jews accept him, when the Jews accept him there, then he doesn't need Mashiach. But since not all the Jews accepted him, most of many Jews followed Adoniah. Therefore, he needs Mashiach. Tana af Yehu ben Nimshi l'Nimshach n'ling vos Yoram and Achav, even Yehu was only Nimshach because of Machlokz of Yoram. Amai tepulei de Melech Rishon Hu. Why not say he Yehu was Nimshach because he was the first of his dynasty? So of course the first king has to be Nimshach. Chisor Metzorav, because honey, it's missing, and this is what it says. Malchi beis David Moshkin, Malchi Yisrael in Moshkin. The kings from David get Mashiach. Malchi Yisrael of the 10 tribes do not get Mashiach. Avim Tomrei, no Mashku Yehu ben Nimshi. So why did they give Mashiach? Why did they anoint Yehu, who was from Malchi Yisrael? And they have, look, it's Yoram and Achav, because Yoram disagreed with him, fought with him, and therefore they need to show he was the real king. Amar Mar. Malchi Yisrael Moshkin, Malchi Yisrael Moshkin, Minolan. How do we know? The Siv Komashchehu ki Zehu. Hashem says to Shmuel and Avi, go anoint David, because Zehu, he's Zeh. Zeton Mashiach ben Achdo Mashiach. Only David needs Mashiach and not other families. Amar Magdim, Achluk Zyorim, Achluk Zyorim, Achim Nimel, Shemin Mishrak, Amar Papa, Varsim Adachia, Havinam, Varsim Adachia. Okay. And the question is, how can you say he anointed Yehu unnecessarily, illegally, unhalachically to prove that he was right and help him win the Machlokes against Yoram? In order to avoid Machlokes, they could do Me'ila and use Shemin HaMishcha improperly? The answer is, just like Rav Papa said later, that in the time when there's no Shemin HaMishcha, they just use for Yoachas a Farsim Adachia. What's a Farsim in English?
A sinner, I think.
That's in modern Hebrew. I think there's the Shemin HaFarsimon is some very fancy oil. I forget exactly what it's called. Okay. Anyway, you just use Shemin HaFarsimon, pure Shemin HaFarsimon. Likewise, Yehu was only anointed with Shemin HaFarsimon, not with actual Shemin HaMishcha. Okay, now, the reason I read here is for the following, because that's going to help us with the following question. Rafi, can you get the board, please? You got it with this? Okay. Okay. What's the din? The din is that b'mako machlokes. B'mako machlokes. Melech ben Melech. Needs Mashiach. Okay, the question is why? And here the Achronimi point out there's a very fundamental machlokas between whom and whom? Between whom and whom? Yes, Rashi says, Bizman Shol Misholim Machlos Yerusha Vloboy Mashiach, Voki Ika Machlokas Lav Yerusha Voy Mashiach Batchila. Lav Yerusha, says Rashi. Says Rashi, ki ika machlokes lav Yerushahi. There's no Yerusha baka machlokes. However, says the Ramban, we will read from Kleya Mikdash Perk Aleph, fine. But his formulation in the Hilchos Melachim is similar enough. He says, "Vim ha'isa shamachlokes moshkno sok de lesalik hamachlokes ulahodia lekol shzeu melech levado." To get rid of the machlokes and to show everyone that he's the king. Lehodia sounds like he's already the king. We just have to show everyone he's the king. It's a fundamental machlokes. On Rashi, he's not the king. According to the Rambam, meaning. He's not the king. According to the Rambam, why do we do it?
we do it. Lesale kamachlokes ulehodia lakol shezehu melech levado. Meaning, he is already the king. We just need to prove to everyone that he's the king. This is a very fundamental machlokes between Rashi and the Rambam here. This is a very fundamental machlokes that, and this goes back to Reuven's question. What happens if he's not accepted as king? So says Rashi, if he's not accepted as a machlokes, then there's no Yerusha. It's mafkia the Yerusha. Says the Rambam, what are you talking about? Of course he's the king. He just needs some help impressing his authority upon the people and convincing everyone. But he is the king, it's just that the people are stupid. According to Rashi, maybe they're right, maybe he's not the king.
But anyway, I understood the Rambam meaning that, in other words, that the Mashiacha Omnam is Mitzayim, but since there are Harbei Toranim La Yerusha, there has to be some formal act that means that makes it him and not somebody else. Or does it just have to be like a piadibur or the melech? What makes him the melech if there's a machlokes?
Well, in the case of Shlomo, what made him the melech?
It was al piadibur.
Was al piadibur and because David, right? Doesn't say so David can give the malchus to whoever he wants.
So in other words, so the amira of David is the one. What made him the melech? It's mikoach ha-Yerusha, but since there's a lot of people who are towing mikoach ha-Yerusha, there had to be some achra'ah that he's mikoach ha-Yerusha.
Okay, let's hold that thought for just a moment. Lemaisa, let's just think about this for a second. Here we seem to have, and then I'll come back to what you're saying, this does get very complicated. Here we seem to have a very fundamental machlokas, certainly a pashup shot. I mean, goes back to the question of democracy, etc. Right? Does the will of the people make a difference? Right? Bekerev Yisrael. Right? Does the will of the people make a difference? So says Rashi, of course, you know this whole Yerusha thing? The whole Yerusha thing is only if everyone accepts him. That's when there's Yerusha. But if people don't accept it, there's no Yerusha. Rashi basically, the simple pshat in Rashi is that he's bringing democracy into it here. He's saying, yes, we have a hereditary monarchy and hereditary everything else also, perhaps. Even though in Shas it only says king and Kohen Gadol, but in Sifrei and the Rambam it says everything else. But that's Minastam. Minastam, it's good to have a Mshechiyot, it's good to have a Mesorah, it's good to have someone who's brought up Merechem with Tachsisei Malchus and Tachsisei Kohanei Gedola, if the people are happy with him. I mean, in Minastam, why wouldn't the people be happy with, like, you know, sometimes, you know, the son of the previous one is really the best person. Sometimes he's the best person because he's the son of the previous one. Or he's as good as everyone else because he's the son of the previous one. You know, if Moshe Soloveitchik retired from being Rosh Yeshiva of YU, and they appointed the Rav, they didn't appoint the Rav because he inherited from his father. They appointed the Rav because he learned from his father how to be like his father and how to be a great Rosh Yeshiva of YU, and he did a great job. Right? The Haraya, Ubdot, it worked. Right? It was not, lawyer officials don't point him. But after 40 years, no one went back and said we made the wrong decision. Everyone agreed that they made the right decision once they did it. Yeah, Lopa, that's of course one of the funny things, and I'm not a historian of YU, but if you look at the commentator from when they appointed the Rav, there was all this rash of the student body against appointing Rosh Soloveitchik as Rosh Yeshiva because he was some Haredi rabbi who was being forced on them by the Aguda. You know, they were very afraid of the Rabbi Rosh Yeshiva of YU because he was so Haredi. Okay, it's a funny world. Just goes to show that you should always stop and maybe look at things from a broader perspective before you jump to conclusions.
But even according to Rashi, the Shemin HaMishra still plays the role. It isn't so much democracy, just that there's no Yerusha, but whoever it is that's deciding who's going to take over uses Shemin HaMishra, there goes democracy.
Okay, so that's the tricky part, meaning, here's the tricky part. what are the rules as to who then gets to use the Shemen HaMishkah? Does that mean the king can just go and give his brother-in-law the Shemen HaMishkah to be anoint him? Do you need the Shemen HaMishkah to be done through the will of the people? Do you need the Shemen HaMishkah to be done through the will of Sanhedrin? Do you need the Shemen HaMishkah to be done through the will of a Navi? I know in modern political theory, God also doesn't have a say in politics, but let's assume that we're religious people. We're all comfortable that if God tells a Navi something, that's good enough for us. I hope none of us are going to question that politically. Anyway, so this could be a very, very fundamental machlokas. According to Rashi, again, yesh lodon, according to Rashi, it seems to be dependent, and that's going back to the Rabbanus. The third taina that was brought up in the Shalav Rush Rabbanus, remember, all the Shur of the Achronim were not about Malachim. They were about some Shoftim, some Chazanim, mostly about Rabbanim. The Shoftim, someone told me that in the Rav gave your day of shir, he pointed out that Shoftim were only a swear in Europe. In Europe, the town Shochet, he had a monopoly, he had rights, he had... Nowadays, a Shochet is a day laborer who's employed by empire, by empire. That's not a swear. He's an employee. So that for sure you don't inherit. In Europe, the Shochet, he had a monopoly on the town, he had certain legal rights. Yeah, and he was a religious functionary.
He killed all day long, including Shabbos.
Let everyone make their own. Altam Vareach Ein Lehit Vakeach. Altam Vareach Ein Lehit Vakeach. Al-Kolmar Vareach Ein Lehit Vakeach. So we can say we got the next sugya. According to Rashi, there might be some fundamental democratic instinct. Now, the Avnei Nezer says not so pashut. He says maybe even according to Rashi, if there's machlokes, there's no Yerusha, but there's still Kedima. But the Chikrei Lev understood. Here, we have machlokes. The Chikrei Lev understood. It's not in the Bar Ilan, but if anyone wants, it's on Hebrew books. Or I could just give him a copy. He understood that it's mamish democracy. It's the will of the people. Again, that doesn't mean they vote, but the will of the people. The Avnei Nezer understood a little differently that there's no Yerusha, but there's still Kedima B'minoi. So he said, yeah, it seems to be more technical. Like, you can't be Yore something if, it's like, can I be Yore my father's property if it fell to the bottom of the Atlantic, off a boat to the bottom of the Atlantic Ocean? Okay, so maybe you can't be Yore something if it's a joke, if you don't really have a grasp on it, but you still deserve it. So the Avnei Nezer, he toned down Rashi. He says, Rashi means he's not automatically Yoresh, but he still deserves it. And the Avnei Nezer says, it's still a Chiyuv d'Oraisa on the Tzibur to appoint him. It's just that, they need to give him a Mashiach. But the Chikrei Lev understands a Rashi that, no, it's Mamish. If the people want, the people want. According to him, we really are more democratic. The Yerusha is by default if the people want. If no one has an opinion one way or the other, then it goes be Yerusha. But the will of the people is paramount, according to the Chikrei Lev.
Does he really do elections?
He doesn't say.
It's total democracy.
He doesn't say it. No, I don't think he had elections. But in any case, it's definitely more democratic. By the way, this reminds, of course, the Abarbanel, right? Now, of course, people's insights sometimes depend on their biographies. I would not say, like the cynical people say, that everyone's shot in Torah is just based on their personal experience. But what is true is that sometimes people's personal experience gives them insight for them to see a certain shot in Torah based on the insight they've received from their experience. The Abarbanel's experience of Malchus was not entirely positive, let's say.
Until the Gerush, he was...
Everything's good until.
He was
fine.
Like Kissinger.
Everything's wonderful until. That's great. But it's the until that makes a difference.
Especially when he wrote his Pirosh.
Okay. But Lechora, anyway, or maybe he saw the Rikavon, Anyway, he writes that famously that appointing a melech, you don't actually need a melech, really the powers of the people, just they can choose a melech if they want, or they cannot choose a melech if they don't want. That's what Rav Kook said, that modern-day democracy can also be a kiyum if we don't want a melech. So I think a lot of that can have roots in Rashi here, certainly if you take the derech of the Chikrei Lev, that it all depends on the will of the people. In the old days, the will of the people is monarchy, and minastam, they wanted the son, which son, the oldest son, or the son that the previous king chose. Minastam. If there's a makom machlokes, then If the will of the people makes a difference. How do you then resolve it before they had elections? Okay, so in the end, the answer is it was organically resolved. Somehow someone won, someone lost, and then they gave him a shikha. The Rambam, however, has a different approach. The Rambam says, Yerusha is Yerusha, and there's nothing you can do about it. As a matter of fact, the Merdayik and the Rambam, that in Hilchas Melachim, it says, and even Machlokes, like, it's only if, like, someone else from the family argues with him. Otherwise, like, it's obvious that you don't even need to tell anyone. It's a davar pashut. So for the Rambam, it really sounds like, no, it's an absolute right of kings, divine right of kings. You might need to impress upon people his rulership, but he doesn't need anyone's approval to be ruler. The koach comes from Hashem, and he doesn't need anyone to agree with him.
Is that
qualified?
Is that
ro'oi? So the Rambam makes it, he has to be ro'oi. Again, I didn't, but I'm not going to discuss now. And this shut divrei Malkiel that I put in brackets. I tried to put the main shutim in brackets. He discusses that maybe the people have the right to decide if he's qualified, but not if they like him, a compromise shita. The people can decide if he's qualified. People can't decide if they like him. And then he says, well, only the smart people can decide if he's qualified, which is, you know, again, not modern-day democracy.
Why does the Rambam say,
but maybe true. So I assume that milchama doesn't mean like they're in the middle of the war now, but there's a milchama that someone's trying to capture the king. Someone's fighting him over the territory. Someone's fighting him over the territory, and they're also fighting him over the kingship, right? Meaning if he's defeated, then he's not a king. So I don't mean that stam, you're in the middle of a milchemet Sinai or whatever. I think what it means is that either it's a machloket, meaning no one's fighting, but people are arguing who should be king, or a milchama. He says, I'm king, but someone else says, what do you mean? Now that your father died, I'm coming with an army and taking over, and I'm being king. So I think milchama is just a bigger machloket. Yes. It was interesting to go to what about external, you know, let's assume internal. That would be the simplest. Although Yesh Ladon Harbei on these things, I just want to point out this is a very fundamental machlokes. This also comes up in the Shaila of Yerushas Rabbanus, etc. Meaning, sometimes the people don't mind either way. You know, the famous case of the Shot Rivash, where he paskined Yerushas Rabbanus that the Ramah paskined, the people were very happy with the guy's son. Just the other rabbi wasn't happy with the guy's son inherited. The people were very happy. So that's what the Chikre Lev says. And the people are happy. That's what Rambam says Yerushas Rabbanus. If the Baal Batim don't like the rabbi's son, then maybe there's no Yerushas Rabbanus based on Rashi. And the Chikre Lev says it depends if you hold like Rashi or the Rambam. According to the Rambam, whether the Baal Batim are happy or not, there's Yerusha. According to Rashi, only if the Baal Batim like him, there's Yerusha. If the Baal Batim like the rabbi's son, you don't need a search committee. Baal Batim like him, go. If the Baal Batim don't like the rabbi's son, then of course he's not the rabbi against their will. There's no Yerusha against the will of the people. So this is very fundamental. It doesn't really answer the question of why did the Rambam not appreciate that the people might have a say in things? We'll have to leave that a little bit, but sorry.
Also, who's the people? Is it the board? Or is it his family?
Right. These are all good questions, which I'm going to have to leave Bitzarich Ion for now. Okay. We only have a few moments left, so I just want to make a few ha'aras. First of all, the Brisker Rav asked an interesting question. Asked the Brisker Rav, remember by Yehu it says, because the machlokas in two Malchi Yisrael, you should do me'il and Shemen HaMishcha? No, it's really Shemen HaFar Simon Tahor. How about by Shlomo? Just because there's a machlokas, you're going to do me'il and Shemen HaMishcha? Meaning, what gives you the right to use Shemen HaMishcha just to tell people who's king? Aliba de Rashi, I understand. Aliba de Rashi, then Nika Shemutar Lehishtamesh B'Shemen HaMishcha. Nicha that it's mutter to use Shemen HaMishcha because you have to make someone a king. There's no king. You have to appoint a king. Of course you're allowed to use Shemen HaMishcha to appoint a king.
You're starting a new lineage.
Yeah, and you're really starting a new lineage. According to the Rambam, asked some of the Achronim, why is it mutter to use Shemen HaMishcha just to impress people? He's already the king. You're just impressing people. Why is it mutter to use Shemen HaMishcha just to impress people? It's a good question. So, here we have two answers. The Brisker Rav says,
It's already in the Malchus.
Right, says the Brisker Rav.
Brings it close to Rashi at the end.
He brings it a little close. So one answer is the Brisker Rav. He says a compromise shita, right? He says basically it's a chisaron in the malchus. Yes, you inherit the malchus, but you're not a full melech. He says that he's not a full melech until everyone accepts him. And then he's halfway Rashi. Meaning, he's not a full melech. And you can bring a ride this in the famous Yerushalmi and Horios. The Yerushalmi and Horios says, for the 6 months that David was on the run, running away from Avshalom, if he needed to bring a korban chatas, he would bring a kivsa or a se'ira like a regular person and not a sa'ir like a melech. Meaning, for chatas, he had the din of a regular person for those 6 months. That's Yerushalmi and Horios. Now, in the Avnei Nezer, in the footnotes written, I think, by his son, to this Avnei Nezer, there's a whole discussion. Does that mean what the Brisker Rav says, or does that not mean what the Brisker Rav says? He says, maybe that's just a technicality of the carbon, or maybe that shows something about his malchus. But, and the Rav also briefly alludes to this, but the Brisker Rav doesn't explain, but what you could say is that, based on the Rishalmi, there's two dargas of melech. There's a melech, there's a din of a melech, and the din of a melech means he has the right to the malchus. Even in the 6 months David was running away from Avshalom, whoever rebelled against him was chayv misa zemori b'malchus, right? He still had the din of melech. He wasn't a non-melech. There's din of mori b'malchus. You could get killed for cursing him. He should have killed Shimon ben Gera Taka. So you could, but he didn't have the full din of a melech because he didn't bring the seir malchus. So you could say it's like David boreach Mipnei Avshalom, who had some of the Dinam of Malchus, but not the full Dinam of Malchus. Like, so that is a great question, meaning then when he clearly didn't need Mashiach afterwards, that's the problem with this comparison. I think maybe in the Rav asked this question, or I saw someone ask this question, maybe it was the footnotes of Avnei Nezer, someone asked your question, that's a great question, who had Din Melech for Morei B'Malchus, but not for Chatas, according to the Gemara and Horios. It's also Yerushalmi someplace else. Yerushalmi, not Bavli. Okay, Jonathan asks, if I'm going to compare it to David, it's a bad comparison, because this needs Mashiach and David doesn't. Okay, I hear the Taina. Anyway, that's the Brisker Rav wants to say. If not, I don't have a comparison. He's not a full Din Melech, and therefore you're allowed to use the Shemana Mishcha to make him a full Melech. I think it comes down to the same thing.
Because in other words, the Shemana Mishcha sort of is Mashlim Yerusha. In other words, it's saying that it's not. In other words, let me make something. I don't know.
But you still want to be within the Rambam. You don't want to say he's not a Melech. Okay, think about it. I thought it was very posh to answer this, based on the Sefer Achinuch. Says the Sefer Achinuch, Som Tasim Alecha Melech. Does not only mean to appoint a king, what else does it mean? To accept the authority of a king. What drush is he based in the Chazal? What a Chazal darshan from Som Tasim Alecha? Shetei Maso Alecha. Right? The mitzvah say, according to the Chinuch, includes not only appointing the king, but fearing the authority of the king, ensuring the authority of the king. I thought it was very posh to answer this. He says, the purpose, the yi'ud, if we can say, of Shemana Mishcha is not just for appointing a king, but for the mitzvah of Som Tasim Alecha Melech. And we just add one thing, says the Chinuch, the mitzvah includes strengthening the authority of the king. Says the Sefer Achinuch, the mitzvah is not just to have a king. The mitzvah is to have a king and to impose his authority. Therefore, if you have to show everyone he's a king when they're in doubt,
That's part of the mitzvah of Som Tassom Alev HaMelech. The mitzvah means to have a king and to honor the king and to revere the king and to make sure everyone listens to the king. That's all part of the mitzvah that say. So you could say that the heter of Shemana Mishka is that you can use it for the key of Asay of Som Tassom Alev HaMelech, which includes appointing a king when there isn't a king and imposing the authority of the king when people question his authority. I thought that was a poshut answer to the Brisker Rav's Kasha, and that's what Duyik in the Psukim. What did the Psukim say? According to Rashi, who vanav bekerev Yisrael? His son's only the king if Kerev Yisrael agrees, if not, not. But according to the Rambam, no. Who vanav bekerev Yisrael? The mitzvah is that he and his kin should be kings and the Jewish people should accept him. They should be kings and within the Jews who accept their kingship, who follow their kingship. Therefore, if you need to convince people to follow his kingship, that's a kiyum of the assay of who vanav bekerev Yisrael. So it's a different way of reading it. Rashi would read it as, when is there a king? Bekerev Yisrael, otherwise not a king. The Rambam would read it, according to what I'm saying, as when the Brisker Rav would read it as, well, there's a king, but he's not a full king unless it's Bekerev Yisrael. I would say no. The mitzvah say is to have a king, Bekerev Yisrael. This is the continuation of Som Tassom Alev HaMelech. The purpose of the king is that he should be Bekerev Yisrael. If Yisrael doesn't accept the king, then you have a mitzvah to make Yisrael accept the king. And to teach them that he's the king, and to show that he's the king. And that's why it's a proper use of Shemana Mishka. Kach nirala niyas daiti.
It's a Klei Chemda's answer.
Oh, that's a Klei Chemda's answer. Oh, that's in the Sifta? Great, okay, so I'm going to come to the Klei Chemda. Great. Thank you. Okay, let's just go a little further in the Gemara. Says the Gemara, by the way, said here, I'm just going to briefly mention this, that, I don't know what we're going to do about pizza, Maktoris Ketzat. It's a shver matzah. That's true. Thursday we can make it all day, and mishmar. There's a pasuk about this. It's called Od Ma'atu Skaluni. That's not the care of Yisrael. Okay, so but let's the famous machlokas Rishonim about this din that we just mentioned in Moshkin Malchi Yisrael. Clearly, that means that Mashiach is shayach to David and Shlomo and Yehoash. We don't have Mashiach for Yerubbam and for Yehu and for Achav and v'chuli v'chuli. And even though they did Mashiach for Achav, that was just Shemana Farsamon. It wasn't real Shemana Mishka. The Machlokas Rishonim is about whom? Shaul HaMelech. Did Shaul HaMelech have Mashiach or not? Now, it's sort of a force in the Pasuk that he did. It's a force in the Pasuk that Shmuel did Mashiach to Shaul HaMelech. So says Rashi, V'lo Malchi Shaul Mishaba David, Aval Shaul Nimshah. Means after David, Malchi Shaul didn't get Mashiach. But Shaul had Mashiach, and says Tosos, Mi David Ve'elech. This means that only from David and on. And Shaul got Mashiach, only from David and on there was a difference. Who argues with Rashi and Tosos? The Radak. The Radak on Chumash, it's on the Makorah sheet. Says, Lo haya ze shemen ha-mishcha, ki lo haya meshuch menu malchim eis David. Aval shemen ha-far simon haya. It was only shemen ha-far simon. So that's the machlok is about Shaul. Rashi and Tosfos says shemen ha-mishcha. And the Radak says shemen ha-far simon. What's the yesod of the machlokas here is not 100% clear, but I think perhaps, on the one hand, Rashi and Tosos make the most sense. David wasn't chosen yet in the days of Shaul. What do you mean that the halacha only malchimates David? That's from when Hashem chose David, before Hashem chose David. And that's what the Rav says. Shaul was giving the kingship l'dori doros. He just lost it al pi hadibur, and Hashem's allowed to change these things. But the Shaul was given a real kingship. Right? So only from David and on there is a special Bechiris David. Before David's time, what's wrong with Shaul? So I think, Lanias Daiti, I think the Yesod of this Machlokas might be the famous Kiddush, the Ramban. The Ramban has a Kiddush. The Gemara says, we learned it in Sanhedrin. Remember we learned Lo Yasser Shev Yehuda, there'll always be the Reish Delusa and the or from Yehuda and Mechot being Raglov, etc., etc. Lo Yasser Shev Yehuda, that Pashup Shad of the Chumash, meaning Sheva in Biblical Hebrew means rulership. That's why, by the way, a tribe is called a Shevet. Shevet doesn't mean tribe. Shevet really means the leader of the tribe. Because Shevet is rulership, the scepter, right? Everyone knows what it means to have the scepter. The scepter shall not leave the family of Queen Elizabeth. We all know what that means. Right? So it's a mafurish pasuk that Yehuda will have kingship. The chiddush of the Ramban is, the chiddush of the Ramban on Chumashin Vayechi is, it's a halacha that it's usher to have a king not from Shevet Yehuda. It's a halacha it's usher to have a king not from Shevet Yehuda. Not everyone seems to agree with him. It doesn't say that anywhere in Shas, that it's a halacha you can't have a king not from Shevet Yehuda. It doesn't say anywhere in Shas. It may very well be the Radak held like the Ramban. Even before the time of David HaMelech, obviously you couldn't have a real king not from Yehuda. Shaul was just a temporary king. He was just a placeholder. If he was just a placeholder, then you give him a Sheikh of Hashem and Arfar Simon. Maybe Rashi and Tosos held, not like the Ramban. Rashi and Tosos held that, okay, there's a Nevuah. You know what? But however the Nevuah would be Miskayim, the Hashem's business, when it would be Miskayim, how it would be Miskayim, Ad Ki Yom Shilo, there's a lot of time until Mashiach comes. Really, Shaul is just as qualified to be a king. Once David was chosen, then it changed. So it could be that this machlokas might tie into the Chiddush the Ramban. The Radak would hold like the Chiddush the Ramban. It would make sense. Shaul can't really be considered a proper king. Shaul is a second-rate king, like Malchi Yisrael. While Rashi and Tosfos say, no, Shaul was a proper king. From David time and on, no one else could be a proper king. But there's nothing wrong with Shaul. Maybe he would have kept it forever if he hadn't messed up and not listened to Hashem. Okay, so that could be the yesod of that machlokas. Continuing in the Gemara says,
was Yoyakim really bigger, older? So Habachor Yochanan Yoachas was Bechor. He was Yochanan. Elo Liolam Yoyakim Kashis. No, really Yoyakim was older. Vamai Kari Le Bechor. So why did it say the Bechor was Yochanan? Why does it call Yoachas the Bechor if Yoyakim was older? Shu Bechor the Malchus, because he was the king first. He was first in kingship. So the Pasuk's written retrospectively. Yochanan Yoachas was the first king, but Yoyakim was really the oldest son. Umi Mokmina Zuta Kamik Shisha. Hold on. I understand why we need to anoint Yoachas, Yoachim was older, but why was it? Why did we appoint him in the first place? Why not just appoint Yoachim? Vaksivis hamamlach hanasan liyhoram kiyu abechor. Don't we know when a pasuk says it goes to the bechor? No, how malim mekam avosav? Because Yoram was malim mekam avosav, but Yoachim was not malim mekam avosav. He was not qualified. Amar mar hu shalom hu tzidkiya v'habadari kachashiv. How can you say shalom and tzidkiya are the same person? They're mentioned separately. Hashlishi tzidkiya v'arvi shalom. Dari is a row. They're mentioned in a row. They're not the same person. Umay kar, so the answer is umay kar li shlishi. The maybe we'll read it with the okay. Umay kar li shlishi labana. Umay kar li revi shurvi le malchus. No, he's really the same person. Why is he called third and fourth, like in a row, different people? No, so he was the third oldest, but the fourth to become king. Because Yechonia was a king before him. Really, there were only three sons. And first it was Yoachas, then Yoyakim, then Yechonia ben Yoyakim, and then Tzidkiyahu. Tanarban, Hushalom, Hutzidkiyah, Velamnik, Roshalom, Shalom, and Maisav. Darachash, Shalom, Shalom, Malchus, based David, Biyamav. Okay, two very, very different interpretations. Either it's called Shalom because he was perfect in his actions, or because the Malchus, based David, ended in his days. He was the last king. Umashmo, Matanya, Shmo, but really, his real name was Matanya. Shenemar, Vayamlech, is Matanya, Dodo, Taklava, Yasev, Shol, Tzidkiyahu. Right? Meaning it's obvious his real name wasn't Tzidkiyahu, because the Pasuk says that Nebuchadnezzar gave the name Tzidkiyahu. So his real name is Matanya. As it says, he appointed Yechonya's uncle, Shalom Tzidkiyahu Matanya. He was called Shalom because one of those two reasons, and Nebuchadnezzar called him Tzidkiyahu. Why? The Amar Lo, Ka Yatzikol Lechatzadinim Timrod Bi, because he was saying that Hashem should judge you righteously, meaning you deserve Hashem to punish you if you rebel against me, meaning he made him he put the oath of the name of Hashem on him that he wouldn't rebel. Shenemar v'yehu bavel ochsiv v'gam b'melech nevuchadnetzar melech bavel marad asher hishbiyo b'elokim. It says that he rebelled against Nebuchadnezzar, who put an oath on him with the name of God. Where's the oath? The oath is Sidki Yahu Tzadek Ka. Umi Avashem and Amishka, was it really? Okay, I see the hour is a little late. Okay, we'll have to stop here. We'll have to see how far we can get Thursday. We only have one shiur left, very, very sadly. There's a lot to talk about, including the whole sugya of Pitam HaKetores. I'll give... there's a lot to talk about before there also is the problem.
The
Urim being hidden, which is a short inyan, and the Simonim, which is a medium inyan, and the whole issue of Kolmar V'Reach, and I didn't even get into Trumas Adeshen and Nasis Mitzvah. So, okay, I'll give Makoros to keep everyone busy. How far we get in the next year is however far we will get in the next year. We'll try our best. And again, this Thursday is going to be the last year in Krisos, and then we'll have Ben Esman, we'll pick up Mirtz Hashem, the beginning of Elul, with Maseches Kiddushin, but one more shiur on the Krisos.
What was the date of Elul to start to...